Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Everybody, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike. We are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Sunday, March 25th. And later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter Antoine Staley. He covers a team for USA Today. He is one of the regulars we have on our podcast. And last time we had him on was, you know, middle to late February, and it was before free agency had begun. So now with the plethora of moves the Miami Dolphins have made, a lot of guys have left, now a lot of guys they have signed. We will pick his brain and get his thoughts on all the recent moves. And one thing to also listen to in this interview, I know this week the Miami Dolphins signed Frank Gore and running back Damian Williams. He left and signed with Kansas City, and as we've talked about a little on this podcast in the previous weeks, why didn't Miami show any interest in Williams or try to retain him? We get a little bit of insight on that from Antoine, so that's something you're going to want to make sure you listen real closely to as to why the Miami Dolphins didn't really try at all to retain Damian Williams. But it's a great spot. We talk about all the moves Miami's made. We get his thoughts, and we also start to look towards the draft and what Miami might do in the draft, which is now 1 month away. So it'll be coming quick as we are a month away from the NFL draft. Before we get to that, though, we have to talk about some of the news and information that is out there in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First and foremost, there was an article on Saturday by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald in which he talked about a lot of things, but two of the subjects that really caught my attention were the Miami Dolphins are clearly in the market for a kicker because they did lose Cody Parkey, who signed with the Bears, and actually got a nice little payday from the Bears. So Miami needs a kicker. And right now, it looks like from this report, the Miami Dolphins will not go the veteran route, and they are going to look to either add someone in the draft, probably with a late-round pick, round 6, round 7 type of deal, or sign one of these guys who are not selected in the draft as an undrafted free agent. Because you have to remember, when it comes to this position, you know, you might see each year one or two, probably no more than three most years, guys that are selected in the draft as a kicker. Most of these guys are undrafted free agents. So the Miami Dolphins are working out with a bunch of them and kicking the tires on a bunch. This past week, they worked out New Mexico's Jason Sanders. And look, I'm not going to try to analyze all these guys who are kickers because most of them I haven't seen or paid enough attention to. So I'm just letting you know the names. So per this article by Barry Jackson, the Miami Dolphins worked out this past week New Mexico's Jason Sanders. He lists his numbers here. They're not great. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that means, though. And the two names that the Dolphins really like, according to this article, are the kicker from Auburn, whose name is Daniel Carlson, and the kicker from Florida, whose name I'm sure I'm going to say it wrong, so I apologize in advance, is Eddie Pininiero, and that's probably wrong, but close enough. So those are the two guys Miami really likes, according to this article by Barry Jackson. We'll see. He also lists a bunch of other guys who will be in the draft at this position. He's got the kicker from San Jose State, the kicker from Utah, Notre Dame, Oregon, Kentucky, Kansas State. So there's a bunch of these guys. I'm sure Miami will look at all of them and do their research. And I would not be shocked in the least if they did use a draft pick on a kicker. Now, look, I hate using a draft pick on a kicker. I just think it's just a wasted pick and something I wouldn't do. I would, if it were me, I would try to find a veteran. I know, look, there are guys out there who aren't great, but are at least have proven themselves on the NFL stage, and I would go that route. The thing is, when you go that route, it's going to cost you a little more money. Not a lot of money, but a little more money. And so that's what I would do. But it looks like Miami's looking at a bunch of these guys who are going to be in the draft, and that's the way they're going to go, which I guess is fine, because it sort of leads into the next thing I want to talk about, which is, as of today, the Miami Dolphins only have $5.67 million in salary cap space. That's after the signing of Frank Gore and Osweiler and all these guys. They only have $5.6 million in salary cap space. But don't get too alarmed, because as we know, on June 1st, they will get an additional $17 million from the release of Sue. So really, they got $5.67 million today, but on June 1st, they're going to have, if they don't spend any other money and sign anybody else, they'll have roughly $22 million, which isn't bad, and that's not bad. Now, of course, they do have to pay the rookies they draft, so that'll take a hit there. But with only $5.6 million today, I would think that the Miami Dolphins are probably done in free agency. And I wouldn't look for them to make any other moves. Now, could they sign, you know, a marginal player here for like little to no money? Yes. Could they sign maybe two marginal players that we really haven't even heard of? Guys who are just, you know, career backups for very little money? Of course they could. But I think any quote-unquote name guys that you might know of, or guys that are out there, I wouldn't expect Miami to make a play for any of them, because they just don't have the salary cap money. And $5.67 million right now is not a lot, and it just is what it is type of deal. So that leaves the Miami Dolphins with essentially two, in my opinion, two glaring holes on this team right now that have to be addressed in the draft. And per the article, Barry Jackson, he mentions that there's three, but I really think there's two that are alarming. The third one, it's not awful. The two that are alarming are tight end and linebacker. Because in my opinion, the tight end position right now, I know they have Marquise Gray and A.J. Derby, but those guys are marginal NFL players at best. Those guys, I would say on half the teams in this league, wouldn't even make the team. And right now, they're the only two tight ends on Miami's roster. So that is alarming. And if you look at the free agent market for tight ends right now, even if Miami did want to blow the rest of their $5.67 million on a player, there's really nobody out there to sign. We don't know about Anthony Fasano, if he'll be back or not. I'm sure it's one of those deals where they told him, and I'm just taking a guess, that they told him, if you want to return, we'll probably be happy to have you at the right price. And Fasano is probably contemplating retirement, or if he does play, it'll be in Miami and only Miami. So that's what I'm guessing. I haven't heard anything, but it seems like that might be the case with Fasano. But even if they re-signed him, they still have a glaring hole at tight end, because the names that are there, and right now it's only A.J. Derby and Marquise Gray, are just not good enough. So tight end is a major, is something that the Miami Dolphins are going to have to address in the draft, and most likely will have to address in rounds 1, 2, and 3. In one of those rounds, they're going to have to go tight end. Now, it probably won't be round 1 when they're picking number 11, unless they trade it down to the bottom of round 1, and then they could take a tight end there and get like some more draft picks. But you would think in the second round or third round, tight end is going to be on the list. Now, the other glaring need that most likely, once again, will have to be addressed in the draft, because there's just nobody left out there in free agency really worth signing, is linebacker. And I've sort of talked about this ad nauseum, so I won't spend a lot of time on this. But linebacker, once again, the Miami Dolphins have Kiko Alonso and Raekwon McMillan. We hope is good, but we don't know because we really haven't seen him. But he was a second-round pick, and it was promising what they saw out of him last year in mini camps and stuff. So it's promising with Raekwon, but we really don't know. But even if you pencil him in, you have Alonzo, Raekwon, Stephon Anthony, again, as your fourth linebacker, first guy off the bench, love it. As someone who you want to start, not so much. But, okay, that he's on the team. He ain't going nowhere. Fine. Linebacker is a need. And I think, once again, since really there's nobody left out there in free agency, the Miami Dolphins have sort of backed themselves in a corner right now with tight end and linebacker that in the draft, and most likely early in the draft, they're going to have to use picks early to get guys who can get on the field right away and contribute. Those two spots, the Miami Dolphins cannot, you know, put off to rounds 4, 6, 7 and draft guys there because they need guys who can get on the field right away and play because Miami has glaring, gaping holes at each one of those spots. And unless there's a trade made where Miami, you know, finds a way to add a veteran player from another team via trade or, you know, because there's really nothing out there left right now in free agency, those two spots will be the main focus of this upcoming draft. Now, I'm not going to talk about the quarterback position because that's something that I will put to the side right now because quarterback, it's almost like you handle it differently than the rest of the team where if the guy you want is there, you take it and you sort of don't worry about anything else. But out of the positions they need right now, tight end and linebacker, far and above are the most pressing. Now, the other position that Barry Jackson mentions is defensive tackle, which I admit they do need one more guy at that spot. Now, round 1 of pick 11, they could take the defensive tackle from Washington there if they like him enough, and that solves that, and that would be fine. I wouldn't be upset, but defensive tackle, to find that guy to fit in a rotation, because you would assume the two starters will be Jordan Phillips and Devon Godchow. So I'm not as concerned about that position as I am as linebacker and tight end. Because at linebacker and tight end, you can make the case the Miami Dolphins need guys who can start day one. And finding those guys in the draft is tough. So that's why, to me, defensive tackle, not as much of a need. But yes, it's a need. But linebacker and tight end are a need. And here's the problem that the Miami Dolphins have created right now. Because they will be unable to probably fill linebacker and tight end in free agency, when it comes to the draft, whether it's round 1, 2, or 3, because they need guys at those spots, that they might be out of the position to take the best player available, and that they will be now forced to draft need over best player available. Like, for example, just an example, say round 1, and the 4 big quarterbacks are off the table, and the highest rated player on Miami's board, let's just say, is Fitzpatrick from Alabama, and he's there. Well, Miami is, you know, they're pretty good at safety and cornerback, but if he's the highest rated player, they might have to take, you know, maybe the kid from Washington, who they have ranked a little lower because they need to fill that defensive tackle spot, or maybe they do have to take one of the linebackers who they have ranked a little lower because they need to fill the line. So best player available might not be an option for Miami. Or say in the 2nd round, somebody really falls. And say the guy who falls is a left tackle or, you know, maybe a running back. And he's the highest rated player on their board. Well, the Miami Dolphins don't have a tight end on the roster. So they might have to pass on a better player and take a tight end who they have ranked lower because they need a tight end and they can't wait. So they have sort of backed themselves in a corner, which you hate to see in the draft. In the draft, the teams that draft well are teams that have, you know, maybe one hole or no holes, and they can just draft the best player available. The Miami Dolphins right now with linebacker and tight end are a mess. And that's saying it kindly. They need help at linebacker and tight end in the worst way just to field a competitive team. And heading into the draft, the Miami Dolphins now, I don't know if they're going to be able to draft best player available. They might be drafting for need, especially around those two spots, because they have to fill them. And they might not be able to do a luxury pick in rounds 1 or 2 or 3, or if somebody falls at whether it's running back or somebody falls at, you know, wide receiver or something, they can't touch them because they need linebackers and need tight ends. So they won't have to reach on one of those spots. So that's that. And they might have handcuffed themselves a little. We'll see how that plays out. A lot of time until the draft and what Miami does. But we'll see. So I just wanted to mention that because right now there's not a lot of money to spend, but Miami does get more money and influx of $17 million on June 1st. So that's it for the salary cap. Now let's get to the interview with Antoine Staley. Like I said, he is the Miami Dolphins reporter who covers the team for USA Today. He has great insight and he knows everything that is happening surrounding the team. So everyone sit back and enjoy our chat with Antoine Staley, Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today. I'm joined today on the podcast by Antoine Staley, who is the reporter who follows the Miami Dolphins for USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. So let's start off with the most recent move the Miami Dolphins made, which on Friday they signed quarterback Brock Osweiler to a contract to be the number two quarterback on the Dolphins. What are your thoughts on this signing?
I mean, it's nothing. I know a lot of people are kind of paying the boo, but first of all, you end up signing a lot of guys. They end up coming to training camp that sometimes don't even make the team. I'm not saying that's going to be the case with Osweiler, but at least it gives them, the Dolphins, if they're not able to draft a quarterback very high, gives them a backup quarterback there. I don't know if David Fells is going to be the guy. Him and Fells can compete against each other and find out who's the better backup to Tannehill. But if you're not able to draft a quarterback very high, like at number 11, you don't have like a Baker Mayfield slot, which I think most people don't think is going to happen now. At least you have like a backup plan. You have a veteran that's played some games in the league, played in big games in the league. And, you know, we'll see. You just have him compete with Fells and you'll see what happens there.
Absolutely. I was kind of surprised. I was surprised as well at the outrage some fans had about this move. And I'm like, first off, he's not going to start. And second off, they had to sign somebody. And out of all the guys who are left out there, like, you know, Manziel, you have Geno Smith, Drew Stanton, and those guys. I mean, who did you want them to sign? They had to sign somebody. And this is probably the best of a bad bunch in my book.
Yeah, I mean, and plus Adam Gates knows him, and you know, if you know anything about Adam Gates, he likes working with people that he knows. So he obviously has a history with Osweiler dating back when he was at Denver. He was his quarterback coach. He was his offensive coordinator for a couple of years. So he knows the type of person that he is and who he's working with. And Osweiler somewhat knows the system. I'm sure it's a little bit different than they played in Denver, but the terminology is kind of the same. So yeah, why not just bring him in, see what he has, stuff, kick the tires, and you know, I'm sure, I don't know the terms of the agreement. I'm sure it's not a whole lot of money, but still, he's somebody that he has experience playing games in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he hasn't played well recently, but yeah, just see how it works out.
Yep. I'm sure it's not for a lot of money. And he's only 27 years old too, so he's still young, who he could be fixed, I guess. But yeah, I don't expect much out of this move, and it's nothing to really be, you know, up in arms about. So I was kind of surprised at the outrage I saw from some fans of Dolphins. Like, guys, just a backup quarterback. Everyone needs to relax. The other move they made this week was they signed Frank Gore. And this one's a little interesting in that on Monday, they brought in DeMarco Murray and they spent some time with him, but he left without a deal. And then all of a sudden they signed Frank Gore. What are your thoughts on the move with Gore? And would you have rather had Murray, or are you happier with Frank Gore as the Miami Dolphins running back?
Well, they obviously needed another running back to complement with King and Drake, and I still think they may draft one throughout the course of the draft. It might not be early, like second round, but I think they will draft a quarterback at some point because they need some depth. They need more depth there. You're not going to go in there with just Sonoris Perry and some of the other, Devon Smith, who was also on the roster last year. I still think you need another running back, and Adam Gates likes to have a variety of running backs. As far as your question about Gore, DeMarco Murray, I actually like Gore because he actually plays games. He's more durable. He hadn't missed a game in 7 years. Despite his age, he's still very productive. He almost ran over 1,000 yards still last year. So you're not going to ask him to come in and be the old Frank Gore that ran for 1,300 yards. That type of Frank Gore, but you're gonna have a guy that can, you know, move the chains, be a guy that can catch the ball at the backfield, and also mentor Kenyon Drake. So yeah, I think between those two, I definitely think the running game is much better than what it was last year.
Absolutely, and like you said, Frank Gore, he's coming off a better 2017 than Murray. So I don't care about the age. What did they do last year? In my book, he had a stronger year. And he did that too in Indianapolis, and their offensive line was maybe as bad as Miami's. So the fact he was productive there, I think that is also a plus. And he didn't sign for a lot of money. It's a 1-year deal. This will probably be his last stop in the NFL before he does hang it up. And the other thing here with each one of these guys, no matter who they sign, I think the main thing here is each of these guys can pass block well. If one thing with the Miami Dolphins now, when they are getting back Ryan, who has knee, now look, he hurt his knee once or he hurt it twice, however you want to say it was hurt, but they need someone back there who can pass block, and that is probably still the one weakness of Drake he still has to improve on. So having a vet back there was needed. So I get why they were talking to each one of these guys. And like you, the age thing does not I don't care about that, honestly, but I like the move. I thought it was a good move, and yes, they probably still will draft someone at some point as well.
I just gonna say, yeah, they wanted to bring Damian Williams back, but you know he wanted to explore other options, and of course he ended up signing with the Chiefs, so you can't blame him for that. So they had to go in a different direction. So that's kind of just what it is.
And it was kind of interesting too about Williams because. I know for myself, I was kind of like, why aren't they wanting him? Because it seemed like they didn't make a – they weren't even entertaining the thought of having him back. But I know Armando Salguero, he had a tweet up yesterday in which he said that the Miami Dolphins loved him on Sundays, but the other 6 days of the week, you know, they didn't know what they were really seeing with Williams. So there might have been something happening behind the scenes that, as fans like myself, we didn't know about or saw. So maybe that's why they didn't have the interest in him, because he's a very solid player. But so they had to do something at running back, Miami.
Yeah, he's a wild person. He's a very, you know, he's a free spirit type of guy. So he's like him on the field, but yeah, he's definitely somebody that's very vocal, and so I definitely can vouch for that as well.
Yeah, because
there's definitely some truth to that.
Okay. Yeah, because I know when he came out of Oklahoma, he had some issues there too, which sort of led him to
be wasn't drafted.
That's why he wasn't drafted. That's what I was going to say. So, look, as fans, I don't know what happened and all that stuff, but that sort of clears it up as to why Miami didn't make a strong play to bring him back. Because as we've seen this year, guys like Landry and Sue, I mean, some of it is about money, of course, but – they weren't brought back partially because maybe of their attitude and such. So it makes sense. Let's just say that. It makes more sense now after I saw that yesterday and after talking to you right now. Now it makes more sense of why they maybe didn't have the interest in retaining Williams. The offensive line, I think it's been an upgrade. I know some fans are still upset that they let go of Mike Pouncey. I loved Mike Pouncey as a player, but the past year or two, to me at least, watching him play, he wasn't the same guy anymore. So what are your thoughts first on the release of Pouncey? Were you surprised by that? And then let's talk about the signing of Josh Sitton and the trade of Daniel Kilgore.
Well, Pouncey requested his release because they had asked him to take a pay cut. And this is coming from him. I mean, he didn't want to do it. I don't blame him. I mean, he's put his body on the line for the Dolphins. He might not even be able to play. This might be his last big deal, considering the way his hips are. So I don't blame him one bit for not wanting to take a pay cut. And I don't blame the Dolphins for asking him to take a pay cut. So, you know, it's just a business move. And he felt like he could be able, which he did. He actually got a lot of money from the Chargers, $10 million guaranteed. So it actually worked out for him. As far as the Dolphins' offensive line, I think, yeah, you're better than what you are, you know, last year. You got Daniel Kilborn, you got from the 49ers, who's just as good as Pouncey at this point, at this stage of his life or career. And he doesn't have the amount of money. Pouncey, you know, his cap number is going to be like $9 million. With Kilborn, it's not nearly that. And now you also have him. You got Sitton coming in, who obviously, you know, I know he's 32 years old, but a Pro Bowl type player that's, you know, performed well in this league. And you also get Juwan James back. You get some depth there with Sam Young. And yeah, I think now you're looking at that offensive line. It's much better than what it was last year. And now you also have some depth behind it, because let's face it, even with the Dolphins, they hadn't been able to have that depth on the offensive line, and that's really been their big Achilles heel.
Yep, absolutely. They have now a lot of guys, and they have a lot of guys who can actually move around. They have someone like Larson who can play center, right guard, left guard. They have Jesse Davis who can play right guard, or even right tackle, and even some left tackle, really. He can move all over the place, Jesse Davis. And so they got guys who can move around, which is what you want. And it also, I think, doesn't make offensive line a huge need in this draft. Of course, if the right guy falls in their lap, they'll probably take him. But it's not a need where, like, we got to get at least one guy here. They don't really need to, I think, this year at least. They can probably, you know, move off this spot for a year or so, as they are pretty much set up right now in March, which is great, with their offensive line for the upcoming year. So I think that was a big thing here too. It sort of makes one less need in this draft, because they do have needs, as we know, at linebacker, tight end, and all over the place in some way, shape, or form. But now offensive line is less, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people have kind of looked at mock drafts. They kind of said, well, Quentin Nelson might be a player. Well, I knew that. First of all, I like Quentin Nelson, but I never thought the Dolphins would take a guard that high.
Never.
They just don't value
that. You know? Yeah. And plus, there's no chance he's going to fall that far anyway. So, I mean, it's just not happening. He's going to go, you know, 5, 6, 7 probably, in that range, most likely. But, the other moves they made, let's talk wide receiver a little bit. Obviously, Landry's gone, and we don't want to rehash that for like the 100th time, because that was a story that would never go away. Landry was moved. He was moved. So what they did to replace him, they brought in Albert Wilson and Amendola from the Patriots. Let's start with Wilson. I like him more than some, I think, just because of what he brings to the table with the speed. And I think if Adam Gase is this offensive guy who everybody says he's a genius, which he might be, and he probably is, but with now the speed you have with Wilson, the speed you have with Grant, and the speed you have with Kenny Stills, I think this can be very interesting for Miami to make some matchups and stuff. When they're out there, what did you think about the Wilson signing, and how do you like that move?
I think it has a lot of potential. I mean, I know people may look at the stats and say, well, he didn't do a lot with the Chiefs, but he didn't ask him to do a whole lot.
Exactly. You get a lot of opportunities. Yep.
Yeah, you have a lot of other weapons there. Obviously, Travis Kelce there. You got Kareem Hunt also there. They have other people that are they relied on there. So they didn't necessarily need him to be a focal point. So now you add him into the offense to kind of do what Jarvis Landry kind of does, even though I don't expect him to catch 112 balls, but he has speed. And that's something that, you know, whether you like Landry or not, he just wasn't the vertical threat that I think they might have wanted. And now even with that, you know, you pair him up with Danny Amendola, you have two guys that can catch the football. You have another element with Wilson who's a game breaker, and that's something that the Dolphins have lacked the last few years. They just hadn't got it from the wide receiver position, other than Kenny Stills. Yep. Kenny Stills is that home run hitter, but you add him, you have Stills. Even if you have Jakeem Grant coming there, certain packages at times. I mean, that's a lot of speed on the field. And
nice to have more than one game breaker. Yep. It's nice to have more than one game. Yep. And when you have a few, that will keep that'll make a lot of teams worry, and it will also open up the middle of the field for a tight end, maybe, if we ever get someone who can play tight end at some point, which I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will in the draft. Yeah. But that will just open up the middle of the field, because teams are going to have to move back their safeties when you got on the field Wilson and Grant and some of these other guys with speed, they're like Stills too. I mean, they're going to have to. So I think this will open up the offense. So I like that move. I think it's a good move in many ways. Amendola, he's a little bit different. He's a little bit older, obviously. But what were your thoughts on him and what he brings to the table?
I mean, he's somebody that's sure-handed, really good route runner. The only problem with him is durability. He hadn't been able to stay healthy. He has not played a full 16 games, I believe, since 2014, somewhere around there, 13 or 14. I can't remember the exact year, but it's been some time. He's obviously had concussion issues, other injuries he's dealt with in his career. So that you're worried about that. But now, what you get in Albert Wilson, I mean, you don't have to – even if you have Nolan miss some games, you're not exactly worried because you also have a contingency plan just in case that injury were to occur. And you're still going to have Jakeen Grant on the roster as well. So you're not – I mean, they're not asking him to be like a Jarvis Landry as well. But I think he can come in, catch like 50, 60 balls, and I think the Dolphins would be okay with that. And also mentor the wide receivers because now when you have – you get rid of Landry, I mean, you kind of lose that – leadership in the locker room. I know Kenny Stills is also a leader, but it's good to have a veteran like Amendola in the receiving room.
Absolutely. I agree with that as well. Let's talk about Sue real quick here. Obviously, he was let go. I think that move was probably more for financial reasons than anything else, obviously. But it looks like now he's down to a few teams, and one of them that came out of the blue on Friday was the Jets. I know, which would just haunt Miami Dolphins fans, you know, for the next 4 or 5 years if he does wind up there. Where do you think he might land? Obviously, you probably don't know like me, but just where do you think for him is the best fit, I should say? Where do you think he should go? Would it be the Rams? Because I would think that would probably be the best fit for him. What are your thoughts on Sue and how this might play out?
If he wants to win and win now, I think obviously the Rams would be a good fit. Him and Aaron Donald together.
Oh, my God, that'd be scary.
I mean, that would be like the dominant tag team of the NFL right there.
Yes, that would be fun to watch as long as we're not playing them. That'd be great to watch as long as the Miami Dolphins are playing.
Yeah, how do you double? You can't. I mean, both guys command double teams, and you can't double team both of them. You could, but yeah, that wouldn't be good for somebody. Yeah, it would not be good for the other team. But yeah, I think for him, for me, that would be the best spot for him to go. And you know, you can move. Sue's played DN. He's played D tackle. Yeah, it's so many different things Wade Phillips would be able to do with Sue and Aaron Donald on the same line. I mean, that would just be a scary proposition for anybody in the NFC. And I think the Rams would. I mean, the Rams are setting themselves up. They're putting their chips to the table and they're trying to win now. They're trying to, you know, get people excited. They're obviously coming off the playoff berth last year. I think that would be the better fit for him. I can see him going to the Jets, too. I think Todd Bowles would have a lot of interesting ways to use him, to be honest with you. So I think he would do well either place. And, you know, you got somebody like Leonard Williams there, him and Sue, who kind of reminds me, I won't say like a Sue, but he's just as dominant. He doesn't get really talked about enough. But that would be also a scary proposition, especially if you're a Dolphins fan. They have to block Leonard Williams and Sue. Yeah.
That'd be tough. Yeah. But and with Sue, it probably will just come down to the money, which I don't blame him. Once again, with any of these players, if they chase the money, I never have any issues with it. Because as we have talked about in the past, when it comes, I mean, they are always one hit away from it just all going away. So if it does come down to the money, it looks like the Jets might really be in play here because they probably can pay him the most. Out of all the teams, like the Saints, the Titans, the Rams, or the Jets, they can pay him the most. So if it is strictly about the money, then he probably will end up with the Jets. If he wants to be closer to home, he might just go out west, and then you're probably thinking the Rams, which as long as they're not playing Miami, that'd be great to watch. But last thing I'll talk about, and we talked about this a little bit last time I had John, was Mayfield and how the Miami Dolphins are so public in their, infatuation with him, I guess. Obviously, they had the private workout with him. They saw him at his pro day and all that stuff. And I think he is going to fly down to Miami sometime between and the draft. Yeah, for a meeting with them. Look, he won't be there at pick number 11. If they want him, they're going to have to move up. Now, whether they got to move up to the top 4 or 5 or whether they only have to move up to, 6, 7, or 8, who knows? But when it comes to this draft and the quarterback spot, even if it's not Mayfield, how early, well, how can I word this? If it's not Mayfield, do you think they will go quarterback really, really early, say second round, third round, if there's someone they like, or do you think this is just a big smokescreen and they'll take one in the draft? Well, it might not be till late.
I think if Mayfield were to fall, I'm pretty sure they would take him. But
yeah,
I think at this point they're kind of like, they don't think he's going to be there, which is why you signed a Brock Osweiler just in case, because you want to just have a contingency plan before that. I mean, just in case he's not going to fall there, which I don't think he is.
No.
Because you still have the Buffalo Bills behind you, directly behind you, and they have two first-round picks. So my belief is they're going to move up at some point. Now, where they're going to move up, I don't know. But they're going to move up. They have two first-rounders, two second-rounders, two thirds. A team would be crazy, at least not to consider that, even if you're the Giants. I mean, a team that went 3-13 last year, you got to get two first-rounders and maybe like a second and a third. Yeah,
that's a lot.
I would have to highly consider that. Yeah,
that's a lot.
This year? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's something – I think they're going to move up. I just a matter of where. Do they move up to two? Do they move up to four? Four is also a possibility because I think the Browns are going to take a quarterback number one. And then at that point, Barkley's going to be off the board, and then I think they'd be comfortable moving down. But to answer your question, yeah, I think they're going to take a quarterback at some point. Probably won't be the first or second round. It might be day three they take a quarterback. But I think they will take one at some point during the draft.
Yeah, that makes sense. And – like you said, I don't think he's going to be there, obviously, at pick number 11. But I think if he's on the board come pick six, when Indianapolis, or even if it's not him, say it's Mayfield or Josh Allen, say one of these guys fall and they're still left at pick six, I think when pick six is on the clock, all hell will break loose. Because I think you'll see teams, yes, like the Bills, I think even Arizona, and I also think Miami will be blowing up their phones to try to move up and get, whether it's Mayfield or Allen, if they like the guy, which I think that will make this draft interesting. Because I think going from a Miami perspective, going from pick 11 to like 4 or somewhere around there, that's a lot. To get up to pick 6, 7, 8, it's not quite as much. So it's not totally unrealistic. But yes, there is a team like the Bills who have a boatload of picks who can offer more. But you never know. You never know with these teams what they might part with either. So that's where I think it gets really interesting, is if one falls and is there at six, then I think all hell will break loose.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it might be a draft day move. At this point, I think the Bills might move up before that. But
they might.
As far as you're the Dolphins, if you're the Dolphins, you just wait and just kind of see how it all plays out.
See how it
and
plays
then
out.
You make the move. And the thing about the draft now, teams are more likely to move up because, when they installed the salary, the rookie salary cap in there, teams are like, we don't have to pay this guy X amount of guaranteed money now. And like before, when you're paying like Sam Bradford and Matt Stafford X amount of money, teams did not want to commit that. And that's why you didn't see a lot of trades. But now you're seeing a lot of teams wanting to move up because you already know what you're going to have to pay the player anyway. So why not
risk it? Absolutely. And the other thing is, if all those guys go like right off the board at the start, the quarterbacks, that does mean somebody really good is going to fall into Miami's lap, whether that's one of the two linebackers, whether that's Vita Vea, whether that's James from Florida State. All those guys could help the Miami Dolphins year one, game one, right off the bat. So Miami, they're sitting good at number 11, where if they have to slide up a little to maybe land a quarterback should one fall, not unrealistic, impossible, but if they sit right where they are, they're going to get a really good player who can help them immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote about that last week because I think the title of my article is like Miami Dolphins dreams of taking a quarterback falling have died at this point.
Because yeah. That was after the Jets trade,
After the Jets trade. So, I mean – but it's good news with that. Yeah, you just kind of alluded on to it. It's good, other great players out there, great defensive players, and it's not like the Dolphins don't need defensive help. They definitely do, especially the way they defense slid last year, and now you have a holy defensive tackle. So That's a possibility. And I still like Derwin James, even though I know you got money committed to Rashad Jones and T.J. McDonald. But
I would still take
his game is a lot. His game is a lot different than both of those. They're more traditional up in the box safeties, whereas Derwin James is more a guy that you can use that he's all over the field, and you could possibly use him in the slot. I mean, the slot cornerback for this nickel corner. So he could do a lot of different things for you if you have a creative defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I like him a lot, James. I would have no problem at all if the Miami Dolphins took him at number 11. I think that would be a great move. And with McDonald, too, they don't have a lot of money tied up with him long term. I mean, so they can move on from him in a year very easily if they wanted to with McDonald. Yeah. So, James, I would have no problem with him. Yeah, there's a lot of holes on defense that they could fill at pick number 11, even if they don't get Mayfield. So that's that. I would like to thank you for popping on the show today, Antoine. Always great when we have you on. And everyone, make sure to follow Antoine on Twitter at Antoine Staley, at Antoine Staley, and read his work at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com. Antoine, I'm sure we'll have you on again down the road, and thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me again.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Once again, I would like to thank Antoine Staley from USA Today for joining me on the podcast and sharing a few moments with us to talk about the Miami Dolphins. Always a great guest, and we will have him on again. So we'll have another show on Monday. And on Monday's show, we will be joined by Brett Legassi, who is our in-house draft expert for DolphinsTalk.com. And we will break down the tight end and linebacker positions in the draft and some of the guys who Miami might be looking at and might be in play for. We had Brett on last week, and we broke down the wide receivers and the offensive linemen in the draft. And this week we'll break down the tight ends and the linebackers and get his thoughts on some of the guys in this upcoming draft, hear about their strengths, their weaknesses, where they might go, and how they might be a fit with what the Miami Dolphins do on offense and on defense. So be on the lookout for that Monday, as we'll have a new show on Monday the 26th with Brett Legassi breaking down tight ends and linebackers. Now they tie into the Miami Dolphins with this upcoming draft next month. Brett's always great. He has a couple articles up on the site right now about that, so check them out in advance so you're ready for the podcast I do with him on Monday. And I think we'll have a couple interviews this week. I'm still working on it. Obviously, Brett is going to be on Monday's show. Later in the week, I know I got one on Wednesday, and there might be another one later in the week. So we'll have a couple interviews later this week and with some people that haven't been on before. So that's always fun to have new guests and new voices join us on the podcast. So be on the lookout for that. As always, follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. That's the quickest way to get my quick reaction to breaking news and what's going on there. And I always tweet out links to articles and stuff like that that you can check out that are an interesting read to Miami Dolphins fans. And also be sure to visit the website, DolphinsTalk.com. And also, as always, we like to recommend you visit the websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, the Facebook pages Fanatics, and the Facebook page Doll Fanatics, as well as the website The Grueling Truth, and the website www.dollfan-uk.com. So check those sites out. They re-air this podcast, friends of ours, and they also have great articles and great stuff up on their sites. So check them out as well. I think that's all we have for today. So everyone have a great Sunday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.